Hi guys, welcome to the Tech Life Podcast, where we speak about all things tech, career, culture, connections, and everything in between. We are super excited that you're listening to us, and we hope that this episode informs and entertains you. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Hi, my name is Ricky, and I'm your host for this episode, and here with me is...
Samuel, and I'll be co-hosting this episode with Ricky.
This is the Tech Life Podcast. We are your go-to for all things tech lifestyle. So let's begin. The title of this episode is something that has the tech space in a chokehold. And no, it's not Elon Musk. It's 10 Lies They Told You About Getting Into Tech, Part 1. So, getting into tech. If you don't live under a rock, you've definitely heard about this one. Everybody's talking about it. Get into tech. Get into tech. If you want to live a better life, get into tech. Tech is the new oil. Tech is where it's at. And we're just rushing it. Everybody's rushing it.
I agree. I totally agree with that.
So we asked our listeners, we talked to our friends, our colleagues, people in the tech space that, okay, so getting into tech, what are some things that you heard that when you entered inside, you saw that it's not like that too?
Yeah, honestly.
So here's 10 lies that they told you about getting into tech. Number one, it's a quick money thing.
Okay, that's a very popular one. It's very popular.
If you want to be rolling in dollars, get into tech.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So Sam is a product manager, by the way. So Sam, tell us about this. Like, are you rolling in the dollars now?
Well, I wouldn't say exactly, right? I mean, when we're talking about rolling in dollars, I mean, we're talking about making like six figures, right?
Six, seven, eight.
Yeah, I know, right? But I mean, at the moment, I wouldn't say I'm making six figures. But yeah, there's definitely, there's a road path to, you know, doing that. And yes, it's a general lie because, you know, I have... people that I mentor, and you know, one of the first questions that they asked me is, oh, okay, how long will it last, or how long do I take this training and, you know, I'll start making a lot of money? And I just look at them and I feel like, okay, this is not a pyramid scheme,
right?
I mean, you're not just getting into this and, you know, in the next 6 months you don't start making, you know, $5,000 per month. I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible, but it shouldn't be a driver, right, for a reason for getting into tech, right? So I mean, I'd definitely tell you that it's possible to, you know, make money from, you know, being a tech person, right? But I think the most important thing, or the most important reason for to get into tech, would be to build solutions for people, because tech people are solution providers, mm-hmm. right? That's what we are, basically. And I'm very sure Rookie has had our own fair share of, you know, that part of a lie of, you know, getting into tech as, you know.
Of course. So, for me, I'm not like fully. My own tech is in the trenches, guys.
Okay.
But I will tell you that it's not like that at all. There is a road you have to take. There is a path you have to walk before you start making all that money. Because if you want to be earning the big bucks, you have to be qualified to earn the big bucks.
Yeah.
You're not just going to take 6 months or 3 months of training and then you start applying for senior roles. It doesn't work like
yeah.
that. It's just like every other job.
Exactly.
You start from the internships
yeah.
before you start from the junior entry level, mid,
yeah.
before you get to senior.
Exactly.
You just have to follow that path.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
everybody yeah. has to walk it. It's not a bad thing.
That's
just
right.
It's not just instant.
Yeah,
like
it's
that.
Not instantly. Right. I agree with that. And I think one other thing I would like to, you know, kind of add to that is it possible for you, you know, to finish like 3 months training, 6 months training, and, you know, start making money? Yes, it's very possible. But the myths we're trying to debunk here is it's not a like a get rich quick scheme. Tech is not mm-hmm. a get rich quick scheme. You have to put in the work.
Yeah.
You have to have this, you know, level of grit that, you know, I want to see this through, because believe me, you'll be frustrated. Oh, believe me, you will be frustrated. I mean, no matter the field you're in, is it a programming, probably you want to be a front-end developer or a back-end developer. I mean, I have friends that, you know, when I talk to them, and they would still tell you, I'm still Googling. I mean, I have people who have been in, you know, been a programmer for, you know, 5-6 years, mm-hmm. and they still use Google, right? So, I mean, it's just, you know, having that at the back of your mind that, you know, I want to put in the work to, you know, to get to where, you know, I want to start earning the quick buck. So it's pretty interesting. And, you know, I'll tell you that, yeah, this is, you know, actually possible. So, yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Here's another one that you don't need prior knowledge to get into tech. So what does that even mean? What kind of knowledge?
Okay. So I think when that gets mentioned is basically when they're talking about programming. Right.
Okay.
That's when they're talking about prior knowledge, right? So I think, I mean, for me, when I started my journey, you know, as a tech bro, yeah, I mean, I wanted to learn Python, right?
Okay.
And, you know, I did a lot of research and I found out, okay, you have to learn Python for like a particular number of months before, you know, you get a job. Yeah, I got into it, but I was kind of frustrated because I was
the Python was biting you.
Yeah. Yeah, I was grappling with the logic, right? I was grappling with the logic. And yeah, to be honest, for very technical roles, right, I think that's what plays, right? For very technical roles, you know, you need like prior knowledge, right? But for less you know, technical roles like product management, project management, you can come in as an intern without prior knowledge, right? You can come in as an intern, not as a specialist, right? So there are internship, you know, positions that, you know, you can come in, you know, shadow a specialist or someone who has been in the industry for quite some time, yeah. But for technical roles such as, you know, front-end developers, back-end, DevOps, cloud specialist, yeah, you need prior knowledge, and believe me, you do. Because
are you sure about that one? Because I feel like maybe they're not just saying that you just need a laptop or something. You don't need to know anything about any coding language before you start learning or before you start getting into it.
Yes. Okay. So what that means basically is you don't need prior knowledge. And that means they're generalizing it, right? I think that's what that myth is all about. Right. And yes, to tell you, you need prior knowledge for technical roles, even non-technical roles. You need at least a prior knowledge. It's just like you telling me I don't need any knowledge at all to get into it. You need to do your research, right? If you're saying I don't need prior experience, okay, that works. But you need prior knowledge to, you know, thrive in some, you know, most of these roles, because the environment is getting really competitive now, and only the people that bring value, right? I think another thing I want to add to that is, you know, if you're someone out there, you're listening to us and you think, okay, I want to get into this role, and okay, how do I go about it? Yes, let's say, for example, you're taking product design, for an example, or let's say product management, for example, and you're currently, let's say, you just got out of school and you're looking for, okay, how do I get this done, right? There's transferable skills. I'm very sure you've done your internship before. You've done some internships, right? Probably you were in a managerial role, or you shadowed someone who was a manager, right? So there are transferable skills from wherever you're coming from into some of these roles, right? You know, and I think another, you know, valid, or should I say important thing to note here is, you know, no matter where you're coming from, right, tech is an integrated, you know, field. It doesn't just exist on its own, right? So, I mean, you bring in what you know, your prior knowledge, right, to see how you can solve problems, basically, because, you know, tech people are problem solvers, right? So for that particular myth, I would say yes. You know, it's not totally correct that, you know, you don't need prior knowledge. Prior experience, yes, I would say you don't need prior experience. But prior knowledge, yes, you do.
You do need prior knowledge.
Yeah. So that's it for me here.
Line number 3. People in tech don't do much work. That one is a very big lie, a very fat one, because I will personally tell you that you will work like you have never worked before, even though that it is, and it kind of ties to line number 1,
yeah,
where it's a quick money thing. Exactly. They think you will just stand up, maybe like do 2 things this week, and then the money is flowing in. It doesn't work like that. You are going to work. Mm. You're going to put in all your efforts, because if you don't, it's just like any other job, really.
Yeah.
All jobs are jobs.
Yeah.
And in all jobs, you have to work.
Work.
There's no job where you're just going to be laying back and then, maybe unless you're an investor, but even investors self, they do their research.
They still
now.
Do, yeah.
They do a lot of work. They have a lot
due diligence.
Of yes, they do their due diligence. So it's work. You have to keep up. You have to put in the effort. You will work. You will sleep. You will breathe. You will eat.
Work.
Especially in this tech space.
Yeah, I agree.
Because these roles are not just, they're not roles where you can lay back and just relax and just chill.
Just
end of the month, your check comes in, you're balling, lie.
I agree with that. I mean, I think that kind of reminds me when, you know, my first job or my first job as, project, more like an assistant project manager, right? You know, getting into what I knew, my prior knowledge of, you know, project management was, okay, you just go, you understand, okay, have you done your work? And, you know, just follow up on people and all. But I realized, okay, that actually not it. Because, you know, sometimes you're on the job and it was actually at the startup. I think that's another thing because, you know, you really just need to understand the environment. You know, the environment and the ecosystem kind of determines the level of work you would do, right? Let's say people in the tech, startup in the environment, they can agree to this, right? You would do a lot of work. Right. When I mean a lot of work, you know, get to wear a lot of hats because, you know, at a startup, you know, they're still trying to, you know, achieve something we call in product management, you know, a product market fit. Right. So, I mean, you need to understand that, you know, all hands on deck and you have to make sure, you know, everything is just, you know, when probably one of your, you know, colleague want something done and all, you have to, you know, be able to come in and, you know, help.
Yes. And the accountability. The accountability is also another thing. Like, if you say you're going to do something today, tomorrow you're going to report back that you did it.
Exactly.
It's not end of the month that you come and say, okay, this is no, no. Every single day you're going to have a meeting and they're going to ask you, what did you do? And where are you at?
Yeah.
Where are you at?
I think
where are we at?
I think you're talking about the stand-up meetings and all. I mean, I think one of the shocker when I got into, you know, when I started my role as a, you know, junior UI UX designer was the stand-up session. You know, the thing is, it puts you on your toes and it makes you accountable because if you tell them, if you told the team yesterday that you're going to do something and you come today and you're saying, oh, I wasn't able to do it, I was this, I was that. I mean, it's going to look like, okay, bro, you're dropping the ball and you don't want to be the one dropping the ball. So, I mean, you really just
want
to put
that
in the work. I mean, really, you don't want to be that person that when things don't get done at the end of the month, everybody just look at you like, oh,
it's because of
the villain. Yeah, I mean, so yeah, it's not all rosy, to be honest. And I think one thing I just captured all is, you know, we are all solution providers, as I said earlier. You know, as you know, tech bros and techies, people come to you and they are probably, you know, facing one challenge in their, you know, businesses or, you know, their enterprise, and they want something done about that, and they come to you. You can't, you know, prefer a solution by just, you know, sitting down and thinking everything will come to you. You have to go out there and, you know, talk to people, find, you know, a solution to their problem. And that takes a lot of work. So I think that is where the work comes in. Being able to just, you know, go at a problem and make sure that you're preferring a solution to it. I think that's where the work actually comes in, right? Yeah, so I think that's for that. Yeah, we would like to hear from you guys. I mean, I know you've all have like different experiences, you know, working in, you know, different, you know, tech space and all, right? So we would like to, you know, get feedbacks, and you know, you can follow us on Twitter at Tech Life Cast. Yeah,
another one. Startups are the best place to start your career. They're saying that one is a lie. Yeah, I don't know if I want to say this one or Sam.
it's actually, I think it's debatable, right? It's debatable. Okay, I'd say it's debatable because, you know, based on my own experience, I started working at, you know, a startup. It's the best place for me because, you get your hands dirty. Right.
Is it a product manager thing or it's just you?
It's just a thing for me, right?
Okay.
But for when it comes to like, you know, a career progression and all, right? I would suggest you go work, you know, where there's structure, right? Because, you know, you would have someone to shadow.
Okay.
For myself, it builds me. It did build me because it made me generalist, right? I mean, I could it made me feel like I could walk into an organization and I could, you know, fit into any team, right? For some people, it doesn't work, right? So, I mean, that's, I wouldn't call that, for me, that's not a lie, right? But on a general scale, yeah, that's a big one.
Because I think if you want to focus on your specialist skills, if you don't want to do plenty of things at once, you'd be better off not being in a startup. But if you're somebody that wants to experience...
A self-starter.
If you want to experience doing all these different things just to find your... To find your feet, to find your space.
Yeah.
I think startups are like the best place for you to start. So that one is actually like it's on both sides of the fence.
And I think to shed more light on that, right? So we are not all generalists, right? I've met some of my friends that they are front end developers, and that is what they do. They don't thrive in startups, right? And yeah, it's fine when. And I think I encourage some of my other friends that have. You know, big companies that have structure and everything to, you know, try as much as possible to absorb, you know, interns, because it helps them a lot, because, you know, they've been able to look at how things are being done in systematic ways and all.
Yeah.
It's very, very important for their growth too, right? But, you know, for generalists like me, that we like to wing things, that we like to prototype. I call it the prototyping stage of my life, where I got to see a lot of things. I got to work with a lot of developers, right? Because, you know, we were just winging things, you know, get to try, you know, a lot of stuff. I mean, imagine like a startup that had just like 3-4 people, and you have to do HR, you have to do, I mean, it was one of the most interesting part of my tech career, to be honest. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it, because I got to meet a lot of people. I mean, I could be doing something now, right? And the next minute, my boss was like, hey, Sam, I mean, do you want to try this out? And I feel like, okay, that's nice. I mean, and I will do it. So, I mean, it's not for everyone, right? But so I'll tell you that it's just one of those things that you need to be self-aware, figure out yourself before, you know, applying either to a startup and, you know, to an enterprise environment where everything is working. Because if you don't do that, it's going to affect, you know, the team you're working with. You wouldn't be giving your best because you don't fit into that environment. So there's something called company culture fit, right? So you need to understand that does my, you know, my current state of, you know, my ability at the moment, does it fit into this environment?
Yes,
can I thrive in a startup?
Personality.
So that you don't get into a startup and you don't fit into what they're looking for.
And you're just dragging everybody back, really.
Exactly. So, I mean, I guess that that kind of, you know, works for, you know, that question.
And since we said this is part one, this is the next lie is our final lie for this episode. So the next one is getting into tech is all about coding. I think from what we've already said, you already know that it's not just coding. It's not just coding. It's a lot of things. There's some roles that people are not even aware of.
Yeah.
That they're just starting to come into light. And it feels like every day a new role pops up.
Yeah, a new role pops up.
A new role in tech is always you just see it, you be what's this? And maybe you go in depth into it and you're like, oh, it's similar to this, but they just created a new name for it or something. But
yeah,
it's not just coding.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sam, now in product management, is there a lot of coding?
No, there isn't. So basically what we do in product management is more of strategy, design, you know, and also try as much as possible to implementation. So the implementation part, you know, kind of speaks to developing that product itself.
Yeah.
But you're not doing it as a product manager. You're more like dealing with, you know, a team. And I think another thing, you know, just speaking generally on product management here is, you know, a lot of people always think, I want to get into product management, but I don't know how to code. I'll tell you, you don't need to know how to code. Yeah. And what you just need to understand is being able to think like a solution provider. Because when people face problems, right, they're coming to you like, okay, I want to solve this problem. And, you know, you just take it on and, you know, you speak to to consumers, to customers, to people. You have to be a people person to be a product manager. I'll be very honest, because what we do on a daily basis is just to talk to customers, talk to customers.
I was thinking about going into product management. But as you said this one, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, you do a lot of customer interviews, a lot of, you know, user research, you know.
Let me just track it off my list now.
But, I mean, you look like a very pleasant person, so I think you would thrive in that environment. So, yeah, it's really nice. And when she was talking about, you know, different roles, that doesn't require coding, right? Yeah, we're talking about, we're talking about business analysts, right? Business analysts are actually, you know, tech people too. Yeah, to be honest, yeah, they are. They're project managers, right? You know, we have Scrum masters, right? Scrum masters are not, you know, they're not, technical guys. So, you know, in tech, we have two particular, you know, section of guys. We have the technical guys and the non-technical guys. So the technical guys are the, you know, guys that write codes, you know, and all, right? They are your front-end developers, you know, they are the back-end developers, they are your DevOps developers.
I know all those ones.
You know, these, you know, guys that like to just sit in front of a computer, you know, and just press. Believe me, I can tell you that actually, I spend more time in front of a laptop than an average developer because I write. I get that a lot. But to be honest, yes, I spend a lot of time, right, because you have to document as a product manager, but you're not writing codes, right? So a lot of documentation, you know, goes into, you know, our work. Yeah, so there are many roles in tech that doesn't require. We have QA analysts, you know, manual testers, right? You can be a manual tester for softwares, right? You don't have to be like a technical person to, you know, to get that done, right? But if you now want to go like nitty-gritty into, you know, software testing, yeah, that's when we have automation testing where, you know, you have to write some scripts and code to, you know, get things done. But, you know, to be honest, tech is, you know, pretty interesting.
It's very broad. Yeah,
it's broad and interesting also. Even digital marketers are, you know, I see them as tech people because, you know, they...
Yeah, I think they are now. They are.
Yeah, they are tech people. Yeah. Like SEO analysts, SEO analysts too. I see them as tech people because, you know, they help, you know, websites, you know, to be more, to get it out there more than, you know, make it visible. Yeah, I think that's the word. Yeah, so yeah, for that particular point or for that particular question, yes, you don't actually need to know how to code. Yeah, and then there's also this, you know, some ecosystem such as Salesforce.
Salesforce.
Yeah, you can be a Salesforce administrator. Like, yes, because it doesn't require, you know, writing code and all. You can be a Salesforce business analyst and the likes. Yeah, so there's so many other, you know, fields. I'm pretty sure probably in the next episode we'll try as much as possible to go more in-depth into, you know, all these roles and, you know, see how, you know, we can, you know, help our listeners, you, our listeners, our able listeners to, you know, take advantage of some of these roles that doesn't require coding. Yeah. So thanks, Ruki.
So, yeah, guys, you don't need to learn how to code to get into tech. And for the people person one, I would also... You need to be a people person, Sha. Like, which brings us to the next segment, which is the truth. Because we've already debunked these, so you've already heard some of the truths. But there are some things that you also need to know. And the first one would be you need to be determined. You can't go in half baked.
Yeah.
You can't just say, okay, I want to be a software developer, and then you do nothing. No, you need to be intentional. You need to create a path for yourself, and you need to follow that path. You know, you need to be intentional. You need to be determined. You need to spend money to make money. I've heard this one everywhere. It's not just in tech.
Yeah, not just enough.
You will spend that money.
You need to take courses, you know, buy, you know, courses online, you know, take classes. Very, very important.
Pay people to teach you.
Yeah.
You just need to spend that money. And fine, there are free courses there, but there are some, the higher you go on the ladder, I guess.
Yeah, the more granular, you know, you have to go to understand, like, basic concepts, yeah.
And like Sam said, you need people skills. You want to put yourself out there, you need to talk to people. For my introverts.
Yeah, I mean introverts too. I mean, they kind of thrive in the system. They thrive. Yes. Yeah, to be honest, they do. I'm an introvert myself. Yeah,
so you are?
I am.
Are you
introvert.
Sure?
Yeah, I'm an introvert.
What kind of introvert?
I don't know. But I mean, to a very large extent, I can say I'm an introvert.
Right? Myself as well, actually. Anyways, you need people skills. You need to be able to put yourself out there. You're going to learn something. You need to be able to tell people that this is what you've learned. This is how good you are at it. This is why they should hire you, because you can be the best person at something, but who is going to know if you don't tell anybody about it? And yeah, that brings us to the end of this episode, guys. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
We are going to also be getting your feedback. We want to hear from you guys, actually.
Yeah.
Do you have any other things that people have told you about getting into tech that when you now finally got into the tech, you saw that it's not like this, so guys, yeah, I've been bamboozled.
I'm telling you. And also, I mean, question that you have, people who probably have not, you know, gotten into tech before now, and you're thinking of, you know, you want to get into tech. I mean, those questions, would also like to, you know, get those questions too.
So tweet at us, comment down below,
yeah,
and tell us what you think. Just everything and anything about tech, we're here for you. We have people that will answer your questions and tell us, even the ones that we don't know. Obviously, we have experts, guys.
Yeah, we do.
That will tell us the answers.
We'll be having experts, more experts on this, you know, on this podcast.
So, thank you for listening. That's it for this episode. Share with your friends and have a great day. Bye.
Bye.